Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them.
Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and it's time for this week's Friday Morning GM with co-host Vas Larikos. Vas, how are you doing?
Very well, Ken. Looking forward to the second preseason game with training camp officially concluding today on Thursday as we record Thursday evening.
Yep, this is it for the fans. Media gets a couple more full practices, and then they get into these restricted regular season modes where you really only get to see about 30 minutes of practice. So the biggest news probably of camp came out this week, and it's not good news. Joe D, the beloved coach, is hospitalized, apparently is dealing with a fairly serious acute condition. There was a statement there from the Ravens we're not going to reread again, but you know, very much beloved by all of the people in the organization, certainly by the media in terms of how they how he treats them and, you know, takes our questions seriously and whatnot. But I think the players, he's one of the few older coaches that I think really relates well to players.
Sure. Certainly, you know, we give our, you know, blessings and prayers for Coach Joe D. I think this really hurts the gamble that Eric DaCosta took by assuming that they could replace three starters with unproven players. And Joe D was a big part of that equation, figuring that year after year they've been able to plug one or two holes and develop a guy. And when you lose a coach of his caliber, it's really going to be tough to get a young offensive line into top form.
Completely agree. You know, Joe is the architect of the offensive line development as well, and all of these mid and late round picks that he's developed into big second contract players. And, you know, Rick Wagner is in that. Ryan Jensen got a huge deal from Tampa Bay, and Ben Powers got a big second deal from Denver. And who's the one this year? Well, John Simpson got a pretty big deal from the from the Jets. And Zeitler, of course, his career continued on for years successfully here. I'm not sure how much Joe D had to do with that one specifically, but remarkable developer of talent. Position coaches, they don't impact the cap. So for Friday Morning GM purposes, they're in a lot of ways the gold of the organization.
Sure. So just for comparison's sake, I think I was apprehensive or perhaps against the Derrick Henry signing, considering that Lamar Jackson has spearhead a top three rushing offense every year of his career and has shown the ability to elevate all running backs. And when you look at the numbers, Derrick Henry, $8 million average per year, $5.1 million on the 24 cap. Zeitler was only $5.9 million on the 24 cap, and it's just one-year deal. Moses, last year, his contract, $5.5 million. You know, they made that decision. They'd rather pay the running back than the offensive line. And without Coach Joe D, I think it could end up being a misstep.
Could certainly be that. They had some other things in mind with that. They probably knew a little bit more about injuries of both Zeitler and Moses than we have access to. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, they were very cheap. You know, they're very cheap for 2024. Simpson surprisingly ended up being the most expensive one, and I think the third most desirable of the three in terms of retaining. So, all right, let's go over some. Oh, I'm sorry, we need to talk about the replacement for Joe D, mm-hmm. which is Joe Warhop, and he has an extensive offensive line coaching history that stretches back to 1984. He's actually a graduate assistant in 1983 at the University of Cincinnati, where he played, but from 84 till 2022, 39 consecutive years, he's an offensive line coach in some league. Five college football programs, eight NFL teams. The Ravens will be the ninth. And amazingly, Houston did not retain him after the 2022 season for 2023. So he actually spent last year unemployed, if you want to call him that, before the Ravens gave him the call here. And we learned this information very, very late. I mean, we just got a piece of paper saying, right, you know, Joe Warhop has been hired. Here's who he is, kind of thing. And I didn't know about Joe D, but the Ravens had simultaneously effectively put out a tweet. But anyway, but let's talk about Warhop for a minute here.
Yeah, certainly very experienced. Maybe a little bit of a red flag that he hasn't been, after all that experience, no other team wanted him and he was still available at this time. But probably to be able to find somebody with that caliber, that resume of experience at this point of the season, regular season preparations, probably the best candidate available. He will be assisted by Travell Wharton, who was a former, I believe he was a guard for the Panthers for a long time, and he's been coming up in the coaching ranks now. And saw an interesting stat from Jameson Hensley. I'll just fold in here. The Ravens have won 47% of the games when Lamar Jackson is sacked four or more times, 83% of the games when Lamar Jackson is sacked three or less times.
I don't have a real good sense of whether that's a particularly great number, but if you're sacked three or less, you should win a lot of games. And if you're sacked four times or more, you should lose a lot of games. I guess.
Right.
Start with that.
Yeah. Pass protection is paramount. That's what I'm getting at there.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if Joe Warhop brings something to pass protection that's different. I think when I think of Joe D, I mostly think about his ability to manage power and zone schemes simultaneously and being able to know the footwork of offensive line play, particularly in the run game. But there's plenty of footwork in the pass blocking game as well, and all the notions of handing off people as well. I'm hopeful. I will say Jill Warhop, for all his experience, has not really been a coach for a particularly good running football team. Now, I'll go through the list here. He was coach for the Rams in 96 and 97. That's the Rams of the Lawrence Phillips era Rams. The Arizona Cardinals of 98 to 02. There is no good offensive line period for the Arizona Cardinals. Dallas Cowboys of 2003 to 2004. The San Francisco 49ers of 05 to 08. That team might have been okay. I really don't remember. The Cleveland Browns of 2009 to 13. Not a good Browns era. Tampa Bay Bucks of 14 to 18. So it kind of predates the Tom Brady years, I believe. The Jacksonville Jaguars of 2019 to 21. And then the Houston Texans of 2022. So that was not a good football team, obviously, that had the number one pick to get CJ Stroud. So,
right.
Yeah.
Anytime you're trying to fill a positional coach in middle to late August, you know, the colleges are in full swing, you know, you're picking the bottom of the barrel. It's so, you know, it's just going to increase the pressure on Lamar, I believe. And hopefully the young players have, you know, learned as much as they could from Joe D when he was coaching them up, and you know they can go from there.
Are you at all surprised that Travell Wharton was not promoted at this point, even as if interim offensive line coach would have been a fine designation for him? You don't have to make him the offensive line.
I'm not sure he has the experience quite yet to take on the administrative duties of a position coach.
Okay,
that would be my assumption.
Okay. All right. I hadn't really studied it. I've seen Travell in practice when Coach Joe D has been out do a very good job, I thought. Mm-hmm. And he uses slightly different terminology, I noticed, than Coach Joe D, because he talks about guys you have to hit in level two are known as bugs. Mm-hmm. And I haven't ever heard that from Joe D.
The other thing is just to put a bow on it, Harbaugh, you know, said he was instrumental in game planning, which I didn't necessarily know about Joe D. Mm-hmm. And Wharton apparently is not familiar with the nomenclature that they've been using. So it is going to be a little bit of a shift, probably the next week or two, probably the rest of the preseason is going to be, a learning curve for both the coaches and the players with this new leadership.
Going to have to have some real oversight there, clearly, from both Monken and probably Harbaugh as well, in terms of what's going on in the offensive line. All right, let's talk a little bit about recent roster moves. Last week, there was a rumor that the Ravens were interested in Anthony Miller, and now they have a deal on the table. Anthony Miller will be 30 in October, had 134 receptions in 3 years with the Bears. That all occurred between 2018 and 2022. In 21, he had 6 receptions between Houston and somewhere else. I forget where he
Pittsburgh. Played.
Pittsburgh. Okay.
I think so.
And then he missed the last two seasons entirely with injuries. I will say in camp, the guy looks very fast and still very athletic, despite the fact that he'll be 30 in October.
Mm-hmm. I believe he finished last season on the Chiefs practice squad. So he's always had the talent. I mean, second round pick, that pedigree speaks for itself. And the camp reports from yourself and others have been pretty positive. Wondering what you've seen of him at camp as far as where do you project? I know you can't say where he's been lining up, but where do you think he could line up among the three receiver positions?
Where could he line up? That's a good question. I guess I would say I see him more as a guy who is a good change of direction, very explosive in his routes. I'm not able to really give you an accounting yet of how much wiggle he has. It's just not something I've been watching very closely. The ball seems to find him a fair amount. So whether it's Lamar or Johnson throwing to him, it seemed to be looking for him a fair amount and getting him the football. He's had probably a little bit of increased role in the last week, and some of that may be why part of the focus is on him, because Andrews has missed a couple days. He even before the accident, which was yesterday, then he didn't practice today for the second straight day. Even before that, he had a catch early in practice and missed the rest. So I think he's been involved more as the target these last 3 days in particular, I would say. And definitely a guy who you recognize in no uncertain terms the fact that he's fast. Flowers is like a 9.5 in that category, and Miller is probably a 7.5 in that category, even though he really doesn't have particularly good statistics to show for it career.
I'm intrigued as a potential competitor for that fifth or sixth job. Hopefully you know, he can latch on and maybe raise the floor a little bit of that receiver core.
All right. We had some other guys who have been out since the first preseason game. Russell Gage has not seen any action. Rasheen Ali has been out with a stinger, suffered in that game. Chris Board, a concussion. Sunusi Kane, they haven't announced it, but it's got to be a concussion based on the way he went down and went helmet to helmet. Christian Matthew, not sure of the injury at all, undisclosed. And honestly, at this point, I think his chances of making the team are extremely remote, or frankly, of making the practice squad are probably extremely remote too. Tyler Linderbaum remains out, and he's been out now since early August. You know, it is probably time to start getting worried about this, but on the other hand, it's given the Ravens an opportunity to kick that guard competition down the road. So they got Cleveland. They just plugged him in at center, and honestly did not look bad there in the first game, not at all. And Fa'alele, the results as I scored them were not terrible, although looking at him play right guard on the field, it does not look good.
Right. Sure. I know what you mean there. Maybe some fresh eyes in the offensive line room will help sort the group a little bit better. And, you know, some of the really lower on the totem pole players that are injured, you hope that they can get healthy so the Ravens don't have to have an injury settlement with them that counts against the cap as they did with Quincy Roche.
Yes, absolutely. The last guy who's been out since that time is Arthur Mollett. And remember, he had an arthroscopic procedure. He must have had that procedure already because they rush into that when they have the opportunity to do it so the player can be back as quickly as possible. He's out running on the field a couple of days ago. So really nice to see that. And obviously, he's not going to play in the rest of the preseason, but it probably means he'll be back sooner rather than later than people expect. He may even be back by week 5. So if he starts the year on IR, it could be just the minimum amount of time lost.
Sure. That sounds good. You know, I don't know if it was a meniscus or just a cleanup, but certainly a positive sign.
Right. Of course, we don't know either because we're not told anything about that kind of thing. We got a couple newly out. I mentioned Mark Andrews. Of course, now he's missed 2 straight days of fully the practice. He was there on Tuesday, but then he kind of stopped a little bit early. Tez Walker, though, missed practice on Thursday. The other guy who missed practice had already returned, and it was just kind of a miracle that he returned, in my opinion, was Kyle Hamilton, who unbelievably, he's on the field running right after the injury. Then the next day, he's on the field in uniform and has an interception. And then today he missed practice again. So they may just be taking it easier with him, but it wasn't a padded practice today. So I really don't know how to interpret what that means.
A little bit odd to, you know, put the bubble wrap on Linderbaum, but tell Hamilton to get back out there.
Yeah.
who knows? We're not privy to that, but all we can do is speculate on the severity of all these injuries.
Right. And some guys returned to practice. Rashad Bateman returned, was not targeted much today at all. I didn't have a single note for him in the camp notes, which I did just before this, although there were instances, I believe there were instances where he was thrown to, but honestly, it may have been 7-on-7 or 1-on-1s that I was recording. Adisa Isaac is back at practice, and that's a very big deal. They went through that first preseason game, 68 snaps from Joe Evans at outside linebacker, 40 from a 5-tech, C.J. Ravenel at outside linebacker. And then Tavius Robinson was really the only guy they had playing any snaps after about the first two drives at those positions.
Yeah, it was odd that Ojabo did not have the green light. Hope he does in this next game.
Yeah, very much so. It's important for him to get back on the field. Trayvon Mullen is back on the field now. He returned to practice. He's been out a while with a shoulder separation. Yet I think shoulder separation, I think, you know, you're going to lose 4 to 6 weeks kind of thing. And he's back in about 2.5 or thereabouts. It's probably been Nate Wiggins, incredibly back at practice today and practicing full as far as I can tell. Now they didn't have pads on, but he was on the outside at corner and in the 11-on-11s and looks to me like he's a full go. I wouldn't even be shocked if he played on Saturday night. I think it's probably a bad idea,
right?
But I wouldn't be shocked if he does. And then I mentioned the thing about Kyle Hamilton. Anything to say about all those?
I lean toward caution with the players that have established roles certainly throughout the preseason. Wiggins, Hamilton, obviously, etc.
Yeah. And do you feel the need to see anything more from Nate Wiggins than what we saw last Friday night, which was just outrageously good?
I do not. I mean, especially that position. It's not like you're playing in the trenches where you need the physical contact. You can do what you need to do in practice to sharpen your tools, I believe, for the most part.
I like live fire. I really do for cornerbacks and for wide receivers. But you know, he's done a good job from a soft tissue standpoint being available. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame that his physical play and a fine play, frankly, that he made has turned into this, you know, relatively short term injury, honestly. But he's not JAD in terms of needing a lot of playing time in order to actually learn how to play the position.
Right.
He's got quite a history at the position and all the tools that are needed. All right. We thought we'd do a special segment today. Stock up, stock down. Do you want to explain it as we go ahead?
Well, we're just looking for highlight a few players each that have boosted their chance to make the team or to have a big impact or to have a good season versus a few that have not through the training camp and first preseason game.
How about we start with stock up, and who's your first guy?
My first guy is going to be, I believe, one of your personal darlings, Kadir Ismail. Has been making plays as a pass catcher and a blocker, seems like on a daily basis. And I really do think he's got a real shot to make the 53 at this point. Glowing reports again today from what I saw for the practice reports. And, you know, Charlie Kolar has a role, but it's not a locked in stone cement. And or Ismail could maybe steal one of take away a roster spot from a receiver potentially. I think he really does have a chance now.
It's an interesting choice because they've got Patrick Ricard still around. They are not, I don't think, past the point where they could cut Patrick Ricard and save $4.4 million, I believe. Mm-hmm. So there is still an option to do that. I don't think I don't think there's any way in hell they'll do that. But with Kadir, valuable player and a high risk, I would say, of losing him, particularly if he gets more playing time in the preseason. I think he was targeted zero times in this first game. If he was targeted once and they didn't get the pass, that might be possible also. But I believe it was zero targets. And in a way, that's good for the Ravens. They might be able to hold him on the practice squad for a couple of weeks. A player like this who has looked as good as he has in camp, there have been as many good reports about him as there have been. He will be gone as soon as attrition starts to hit the tight end position. He's a high quality, multifaceted tight end, catch the football, good box out player. I've been very impressed with him. It's and I completely endorse that selection. I'll give my second, my first of three stock play-up players is Ardaeus Washington. Mm-hmm. The guy, it seems to be forgotten at the beginning of every camp. Last year, he came in as a second-year player because he lost a year of credit for service. And he was about the fourth choice to win that slot corner role, but Mollett happened to get hurt, and Stevens had to move to the outside, and you know they might have tried Humphrey there as well, and he wasn't, you know, they needed him back on the outside, and they said, well, okay, we'll give Ardaeus a chance, and he ends up being the best player of the four at that position, right, in terms of how he looked. He's been unbelievable in about the past week to 10 days at camp. Had a really good first game, I thought. Wasn't as good as what he's even done at camp, where he's been buzzing in, making plays kind of between level two and level three. I really see him as an interesting robber choice. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to play him some on the back end, you're going to deal with some of the tackling insufficiencies that come with a smaller player. Mm-hmm. I still think he gives you a lot of turnover potential. Not quite as much probably as Geno Stone did, but has definitely some robber potential to take away routes that would normally be between level two and three.
Sure. You sniped me, as they say in the draft, because he was my number two as well. It's been a roller coaster for Ardaeus. He was seemingly on the right side of the bubble, getting feature cover stories on the team website. Then they signed Eddie and looked like he maybe was on the wrong side of the bubble. Then Mollett gets hurt. But
didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary. You can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code RAVENS. So head to mood.com/ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code RAVENS when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
He's played himself into it. So I'll go on to my next one, who's an older player, not a younger player, but I think Marlon Humphrey deserves a tip of the cap at this point, because he really does seemingly have regained that all-pro form by all reports that we've seen. And it seems that not only has he been locked down, but he has improved his ball skills and his takeaway interception in particular potential throughout this training camp so far.
Completely agree with all that. He's been probably the Ravens' best single player in camp. He's had five or six interceptions. He's been all over the field. They've actually been, I think, kind of holding him off and telling him, you know, not to disrupt the offensive flow as much as, you know, he otherwise might. And you're absolutely right. He's been finding the ball in the air. I definitely do see a future at safety for Marlon Humphrey when he no longer quite has that top speed. And he's getting close to being able to play corner. I thought that might be this year. Honestly, he's playing so well that they can't afford to take him off outside corner. They've got other guys who can play that slot role, including Ardaeus, including Mollett when he comes back, including Bump Cooper, maybe, who's been terrific, mm-hmm. and including, who am I forgetting, Pepe Williams, who's been terrific. He's got such a overflow of riches at slot corner. They really don't need to screw around with their outside corner depth. And that outside corner depth is really, in a lot of ways, more important. So you don't want to mess with that. I think that's a great choice, by the way. I'm going to go with another guy I really think has had a great camp. Well, I think he's changed the narrative on the running back position. That's Owen Wright. last year he was on the practice squad the entire year. I wouldn't have been able to give you a reasonable frame of where Owen Wright was in the Ravens' plans, but he clearly stayed there throughout the year during the offseason because they kept him there, and he's outplayed Ali by a lot in this camp, and he's clearly ahead of him right now in the depth chart. I don't think they're keeping four, and I'll tell you what, they're for sure not keeping four tight end and running back. No. So they'll have to make a choice, and my guess is that Ali probably gets cut at this point.
You know, I think that's a great choice. He would have been, you know, right up my honorable mentions if I had listed it out, because you could tell by the beat reporters, I mean, they're very apprehensive to start promoting former undrafted second-year players above recent draft picks. I mean, the Ravens PR staff and even the beat reporters, they usually say project pretty much everybody that's drafted is going to make the team, and that's the way they look at it. So, but right, I mean, his bruising running style has shown some good things in pass protection, so good choice.
Yeah, much, much better at picking the hole and taking it quickly. Ali has a very patient running style. Now, you ever seen those like personality tests where they talk about how patience can be otherwise interpreted as slow moving and whatnot?
Procrastination.
Under stress, yes. Under stress. His patience could be confused for lack of decisiveness kind of thing. Uh-huh. I think there has been some of that he's not a great fit for that. He's been a guy who's put the ball on the ground a lot in his college career, and he put the ball on the ground on a kickoff return that was not good. He had a drop as a receiver. Can't block to save his life. We knew that coming in. It wasn't, we just had to understand that limitation. Ali is a guy, by the way, that first game was so bad, he just needs to put it behind him like a closer and have a better game, because he will not make the team based on if the relativity between those two stays the same.
Yes. So I guess I'll go back to another honorable mention, Nate Wiggins. Tremendous showing, you know, pass defense, closing speed, the makeup speed. He might have some of the best makeup speed in the whole league, I would say. And he just seems like a natural at the position, just the way he's – the agility to mirror. I think he was PFF's defensive rookie of the week or something along those lines. So, obviously, have to mention his performance.
Never really seen a game like that from a rookie at such a high level. With three pass defense on one drive to mm-hmm. you know, take the Eagles off the field. They threw at him six times in the game for only 8 yards. So if he had had an interception instead of one of those incompletes, it would have been a 3 quarterback rating against game. But 39.6 points, the Eagles apparently got it free, you know, for effectively for there being no interception. Fantastic game. I completely agree. Wiggins has been not nearly as good in camp as he was in that first preseason game. Wiggins has had a lot of problems, I think, relying on his speed, but the over-the-top from behind coverage skills we saw against the Eagles just off the charts in terms of expectations.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do some downstock players. I don't want to load this up, so maybe we do 2 instead of 3 for downstock. Okay. Start us off.
To me, I think it has to be Josh Johnson. Tough outing, and just seems that he's really struggling to avoid the turnovers and the interceptions in camp. I'm slightly concerned that if he could bridge – you know, the team threw a short stint of a Lamar injury at this point, and it's starting to become a little puzzling why Eric DaCosta did not decide to re-up Tyler Huntley for basically a vet minimum deal. I don't understand why Huntley would think his opportunity was better in Cleveland with a recent promising rookie and Jameis Winston had already signed there too. So, I mean, maybe he just personality clash or something. I don't know. But it seemed to me maybe that would have been a mistake there.
Word is he'll get cut by the Browns. So he may be on the Ravens speed dial come October or whatever if something were to happen. So, I mean, DTR, I believe, is still ahead of him with Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's a 6th-round pick. So he doesn't have any real claim to what's going on. Just in the same way that Ali and Wright have both have 4 years of team control remaining. The fact that Ali is a 5th-round draft pick at this point doesn't mean a rat's asshole. Yep. It does not mean anything. I mean, it's who plays better on the field. And, you know, if you thought there was something with Ali that you really liked, that he fits your offense better, maybe you take him. But, I you know, right now, I think Wright is the guy from what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. Regarding Josh Johnson, I did have another comment to make, though. He left the pocket twice during that first game when he had effectively an ATS opportunity. So he turned one ample time and space opportunity into a sack zero, and the other one he turned into a run for two from the 5-yard line that ended a drive. It doesn't get any worse than that. The Ravens did such a crap job. My other guy that is a downstock guy is Devin Leary. Mm-hmm. So I'm hitting the other backup quarterback. Not the gunslinger we'd hoped for. In the first game, he just appeared to be petrified of interceptions and wouldn't throw the ball down the field even when he had ATS. And the big one was on that boot left play where he probably had 10 yards in front of him to Wade, who was his level zero receiver or level one receiver, if you want to call it that. And nobody, the backside edge defender was completely fooled on the play. Nobody was close to him in terms of sacking him from the side. And it looked like he made his reads on that side 1-2-3 rather than 3-2-1 in terms of depth. Yet if you boot, you have to start with the deepest opportunity first. It's a high risk play to gain an opportunity for a deep throw. And it looked like he decided right away that ball was going to Wade, nobody around him, and made the throw. He had another ATS throw that was similar in terms of its give-up-y nature of any opportunity on the field. The only ball he did throw down the field was the one that was behind Tez Walker by 15 yards because they weren't on the same page. And he had finished with a dot of 1.4 yards for the night. Leary, he's a guy who in week two, and I didn't pick him for our special category in this, but he really needs to pick it up. He'll probably have about a quarter and a half. He needs to get it done in this game, make some big time throws, 10 to 15 yards down the field at a minimum.
Yeah. Apparently he had a couple cross body throws that he threaded in at practice today on Thursday. Yeah, definitely needs to. You know, the way it's looking now, through one preseason game, I would be probably in favor of a Tyler Huntley reunion at this point. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to cheat a little bit with my second stock down and group two players together, but they're both the same position group. Tez Walker, quiet camp. Now he's injured apparently with potentially a rib issue. The Ravens need a viable fourth wide receiver. I really do believe that no matter if you're going to run a lot of 12 or not, you need to have depth there and the ability to make an impact out of 11 personnel. The other player who's had a tough week, it seems, is Nelson Aguilar with some significant drop issues by reports that I've seen. That's really what plagued his career when he was with the Eagles way back when. And I'm a little bit concerned about the wide receiver core at this point.
I don't think Aguilar's job is in any jeopardy right now. Lamar enjoys throwing him the football. I think he's the number three receiver as this team goes on. I think that was the plan. Had a fantastic year last year. And so it's going to be difficult to unseat him. And I also don't think Tylan Wallace is in any jeopardy at this point. For one thing, with the attrition they've had, and you know, we're still counting on Bateman to be the number two receiver, the number one receiver, the X receiver, however you want to define it. Don't really care, but he has to have a very prominent role. You've got opportunity coming in there for a player like Wallace, not to replace Bateman in a one-for-one way, but to be on the field more and to be more of a, you know, maybe a gadget player. And I've seen him be the target a lot during camp, more than you would expect. Some of it's been absences, of course, but you know, I don't think he's in any jeopardy either. I think there is now a pretty good chance for Miller. Deonte Hardy, by the way, looked good today. His hands look very good. I'd love to see that come back because he's a player that offers you a lot of different moves you can make with him. He's a knight on the chessboard, if you want to call him that.
Sure. That's a good analogy. I like that. Yeah, you just want to see the receiver group with several guys playing well and maybe a guy that, you know, the seventh guy deserving to make the team but doesn't quite have a spot and versus just penciling guys in because no one's really playing that great but should need to carry five or six in the season.
All right. So you went with Johnson. I went with Leary. Who's your second guy?
That was my second. That was my second was the two receivers.
I'm sorry. Okay, you did say it. And my second – It would probably have to be Rasheen Ali, since we've already discussed him. But another guy who's I think really hasn't played that well in camp, and I think it's a real question, is Josh Jones. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say this because I didn't really have a lot of expectations for him. So it's not really fair for me to say that Josh Jones hasn't met his expectation. He's kind of has met my expectation. He's a guy with a lot of penalties, and he's had a lot of penalties, mostly false starts. He's been running laps, it seems like, all camp. It's been really bad. And the first game, I don't think he was terrible, but I also don't think he was really great in the game against the Eagles. Now that might be pretty good, because Eagles played a lot of pass rushers. They played a lot of pass rushers early. In particular, Nolan Smith, number three, mm-hmm. was out there at the rush linebacker position, or on that edge, I'll call it, on the left tackle edge, for a fair amount of the game. I'm not seeing a guy anymore who is at all a versatility piece to move into guard, and wouldn't want him there anyway. I never liked the idea. I think he gives the Ravens more as the second backup tackle, with Rosengarten starting and McCary as the first backup tackle.
Well said. Certainly defer to your opinion on offensive linemen. And he's underwhelmed my expectations, I will say that, because I was kind of hoping he could be on the John Simpson trajectory of a cast off or a role player or a journeyman that the Ravens develop into something, and we haven't seen it yet. I think we saw more from Simpson by this point of the preseason than we have from Jones at this point.
Yeah, and Simpson was just getting his first chance too, because mm-hmm. they were still playing the Sala game. All right, well, that's good. Now we'll look forward to PS2 for a second here in the game against the Falcons. Who are your player? One offense, one defense, and I guess we'll just do offense first. Who's the offensive player who needs to show out in this game to turn it around?
I wouldn't say turn it around, but a player that I think has a prime opportunity is Rosengarten. I think this is a really big game for Rosengarten. Show that anchor, and I think the run fit angles are really what we're looking for here. That's a position that I don't necessarily want McCary starting, but I don't want a underdeveloped Rosengarten starting either in the regular season. So that was my choice there.
Okay, I think that's a really good one. I didn't even think of that. It makes me feel bad that I didn't. But it's all a nice seal block from him in that first game, but I think it's a good choice. And he should get more snaps. He's been getting a lot more snaps in practice this week, by the way, in part because McCary has spent some time at center. I think they want to just try some things. So the guy I would think really needs to turn it around from this first game, which is why I'm looking at it and I kind of said it this way. Andrew mm-hmm. Voorhees had a terrible game as a pass blocker in the first week. Mm-hmm. The Ravens have already given him the job, and so have I. I'm not any different from everybody else in terms of expecting mm-hmm. him to be the left guard. He just didn't show any anchor at all in this first game. He's got multiple issues though with his pass block. He's not picking up stunts and blitzes the way he should. He's not looking for them and focusing on that. That's actually half of the problem, probably. The rest of it is just pure anchor, that he was not wasn't able to get set against those bigger Philly defensive linemen, which was a good test for him. Mm-hmm. And he needs to get better at that. He's a short armed guy, which means that there's an additional challenge to it, in terms of your opponent is often going to make first contact with you or be able to get to your armpit and take you off your play. And, he's not in the Pac-12 anymore. He hasn't played in the last full year. He's a guy who really needs to put it together and needs to prove that 41 that he scored on a raw score the first game is an outlier. And it does happen. People get extreme scores like that. He needs to do better.
Sure. Well, the Eagles have a tough run, to his credit. But linemen need the games more than skill players. They just need the physical contact of it. Certainly agree with that. We'll see how it goes. Flipping over to the defense, my choice is David Ojabo, God willing that he is going to be cleared to play. The Ravens really need a third outside linebacker that can rush the passer to help compensate for the loss of Jadeveon Clowney. Even if Ojabo is strictly a designated pass rusher, strictly a pass rushing specialist, and he's not going to be able to set the edge at all, that's okay. But they need him to show that pass rushing chops, that ability, knock the rust off, get back to that rookie year where he had that strip sack in his only game that he played. So I think this is a very, very big game for him. Hopefully he will be able to play in it.
I would agree. Big game. I am afraid that Ajabo is pretty much a situational pass rusher now, as far as I can see. The play that really made me believe it is earlier this week when it was last week when Kadir Ishmael put him on the mm-hmm. ground. Mm-hmm. And now, by the way, there's been this big thing this week when the tight ends and the outside linebackers had their drill to block each other. He had another really good rep against David Ajabo. It was against Tavius Robinson. And so they had an extended scuffle that occurred. And then during the practice, during 11 on 11s, Owe beat Kadir. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of like teabagged him. And I'm like, this is an undrafted rookie here. If it was really that big a deal for you to beat Kadir Ishmael on a block, he's a tight end. He's a guy who played quarterback in Villanova.
Right. He's on his third position. And what is it? Chuck Smith called Tavius a glass eater this week. And if he's putting him on his back, that's pretty damn good for a conversion.
So it's Tavius got him back the second time. But anyway, the whole thing that Kadir Ishmael is a target for the outside linebackers is an enormous feather in Kadir Ishmael's cap. It has nothing positive about the it'd be like I'm mad because Robert Andino has regularly hit me for a single, you know, every third right. bat kind of thing. I'm gonna throw at him, you know. Okay. Anyway, I had David Ajabo and Adisa Isaac, so I'll just talk about Isaac at this point. We have no idea who he is. I don't know if he's going to be ready to play on Saturday night. I think by the fact that he's back at practice now, I think he will meet the ramp up criteria to be back for that third game. Mm-hmm. And they'll need a pretty significant evaluation of him in that game. He should play an extended period. You know, Ajabo has looked a little bit better as a pass rusher, I'd say, in the last week to 10 days. But I really want to see what Isaac has in terms of ability to get pressure. And we really haven't seen it yet. Anyway, hopefully we will.
Just to add an honorable mention on the defensive side, Rigby. I think he might have a good opportunity in this game. I think Ross missed practice today. And obviously Board is out. And I'd really like somebody to maybe take Board's job personally as a player, a person that doesn't care for special teams only players. So keep an eye on Rigby as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Rigby had an interception today at camp. So it was an ATS throw from Lamar. It was right between the uprights after forever in the pocket. And Rigby reached out and tipped it. And then he tipped it to himself. So it's kind of like a one-man tip drill. Looked very good for him. The first game, he had 21 snaps and 7 tackles. But 6 of those tackles were defensive losses. Mm. So he only had 1 tackle. And it happened on the 1 yard setup run for the field goal to center the ball is his one defensive win the whole game. So
tackles are the worst step. Tackles are the most misleading step there is in all of football. I can't stand solo tackles or combined tackles. And so this guy had 120. Okay. Well, where were they? How far down the field were they?
you need that context to really buy into it. All right, Voss, always a pleasure doing this show with you. Just a lot of great discussion. We get 40 minutes and it feels like it was 15 here. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online.
Sure. I wrote a daily article, Ravens News article, link aggregator type article for BaltimoreBeatdown.com. And I am on Twitter at Vasilis Beatdown, VASILIS Beatdown.
All right. Other folks out there, if you'd like to do the show a favor, hit us up with a little review on one of your podcast platform, something that will drive some traffic here. We appreciate it. Or, as always, show the podcast to a friend. For Vasilis, this is Ken McKusick saying goodbye, and we'll talk to you next week on Friday Morning GM.